In a world where everybody is doing gra-gra, rushing, hustling, can you find people who have learned to be content? Can you find them even in the world of Afrobeat, where everybody is out-competing the other? Yes, you can. My guest today is Victor Adi. He learned from his father, who was poor, was debilitatingly poor. He couldn't even afford 1,000 naira monthly rent. He learned from his father to be content, to be dignified, and not to allow your life situation change who you are.
So why is it now like this? Then, you know, a man is always, a man has got to be a man. So he didn't go deep or trying to explain to me or trying to get me into a position where I would know that this is what is happening or this is what is happening.
He shares with me how his mother and his father never had a fight, despite how bad things became.
Yeah, because they were living so peaceful.
No fight, nothing
was happening.
He shares with me how he learned not to compare himself with his colleagues who are even doing better than each other at any point in time.
I'll take a break on the media.
You're ready with that answer. You're like, I know where you go with this one. You just take a break of media.
I said it to my song. I said, I take a break of the media if I need to, because I know I'm vexed.
He shares with me how he learned to be a better human being through relationships.
I had to learn how to be tolerant, yeah, and how to be patient. And I got to realize that relationship does not really involve two perfect people. There's no such thing as a perfect person in this earth.
How does a young man learn all the most important values of life, even in the midst of blowing up as an Afrobeat artist? How do you keep your calm in a world that is noisy and loud and competitive? My conversation with Victor Adi of Waiting We Gain Fame will teach you that and more.
Come for me.
There's a debate in the industry about whether albums are still, you know, relevant. Are albums still important? You know, do people just like songs? What do you think? Do you think that albums are still important for an artist's career, and why?
Okay, I feel
because there's some people that haven't released albums still. Yeah, that's like, yeah, you took a while to release,
yeah,
yours.
Yeah. Okay, album is very important. At least it makes, I think it gives your fans and the audience a more connection to you, you know, because there's going to be like a whole lot of packaging in it, your story or whatever the case may be, you understand? Mm.
Is this what you always wanted to do, music?
Like this interview part?
Music, is
okay,
this
music? Music, okay, yeah. So, yeah, it's been, even when I did electrical electronics engineering in Abuja Polytechnic, mm-hmm, I still wanted to do music.
Did you always want to be famous?
Famous, I don't really know if famous is going to be the word, but I just want my music to reach like a larger audience every day. Mm. So, but I don't know, the things that comes with fame is too stressful, I can't lie.
When did it hit you that, did you always know that, okay, if I'm going to blow in music, then I have to handle this fame, did you always know it, or did it just hit you as you began to blow?
I did not actually have like a plan on how to go about the fame, mm-hmm, but I had plan on how to make my music bigger. Mm-hmm. So those were that were, but like I said, the music is always going to come with the fame. Mm-hmm. If your music get bigger, the audience get bigger, it means they are getting more famous.
Yeah.
So I didn't plan on how to go about it.
Yeah. Where did you grow up?
I was born in Kirikiri, Ajangbali.
Okay.
From there we moved to Ajangbali. So when I was like 8 years old, then I relocated to Warri. So most of my adulthood was in Warri.
It slowly hits you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you, there are some things that other people have that you,
yeah,
don't have.
Yes.
Yeah. And when that started hitting you, what was the feeling? Was it a feeling of shame?
No, it wasn't actually a feeling of shame. Because my dad, I just felt like, okay, I had to ask my dad, why are we like this? And why is he like, oh, like, okay, never, we are trying to put things, you know, I used to have this. I said, okay, no problem. So why is it now like this? Then, you know, a man is always, a man has got to be a man. So he didn't go deep or trying to explain to me or trying to get me into a position where I would know that this is what is happening or this is what is happening. Then I just had to take it and realize that, okay, my dad is actually poor. So I have to accept that and move forward.
What do you think men are like that, though? That when it comes to explaining things, they are just unwilling. Is it?
I feel some people say it is actually insecurity issues and all that.
Do you think it was?
I think to an extent, there's an atom of truth in it.
Remember there was a post you posted a while ago, many years ago, when you were in Dubai, and you were like, you used to struggle to get visa. Now you're just going to Dubai like it's a backyard.
Yeah, because then before I blew, I didn't have a passport.
Yeah,
I got a passport when Whitney Game blew, and it was when they called me for a show in Ghana. So when they called me for a show in Ghana, I was like, because then I was still in worry, and they were like, bro, we need you in Ghana. I was like, oh, no, they want you have papa. They need me in Ghana to do what? Because I've not moved from Warri to Lagos for sure.
Right.
Me moving from Warri to Asaba, knowing that it's even the same state, is a big deal. Was a big deal for me. So telling me to come to Lagos to perform, you don't finish me with that. I feel go die for stage.
Talk less of Ghana.
Talk less of Ghana. So when I beg, leave all these people now. So then this person they do ritual. Then the next thing they kept on calling. And I was like, I'm going to stress you guys in the first place because I don't have a passport. So what you have to do first is to get me a passport. That's when I know you are serious. And I don't even have the money to get a passport. So they said, okay, no problem. How much is it? Send us your account number. And they sent me 150,000. I said, wow. Okay.
This is happening.
I was like, mommy, I don't blow. I have to call my mom. I say, oh, mommy, that's what I tell you. No be prank. It happened. Like, this is real life.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, go get your passport. And I did. After that, next thing they said, we are going to give you a balance of 150K as well, so which is 300,000. I say, wow, me would collect 10,000 per show. He give me 300,000. I say, okay. That was when I knew that I was it for me. So from there, and my song was not even big in Nigeria then.
So it got big outside Nigeria.
Yeah,
before
it got big in Ghana, before.
Really?
Nigeria,
why do you think that happened?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't know how it got there. Yeah. I don't just know.
You don't just know. What people wonder is that, you know, just to move from Less than 20 years ago, you have the situation where your dad can't pay, you know, the rent.
Yeah.
And now your decision where you're traveling across the world, your sister is in Canada, your mom is going to visit your sister in Canada. Do you sometimes just wake up and think, I cannot even believe that this is happening to my family?
Most of the time, and sometimes when I want to think about the bad things, I just like, oh my God, you've been faithful to me. I don't get a house before, and now I have a house. I don't get this before, and I have this, so I just have to be thankful.
I mean, you know, "Waiting Baby Day" is one of my favorite songs. It's one of my most played songs of 2020. We're 2023 now. It's one of my most played songs. So I found it late I go late to things.
Yeah.
So I discovered it, I Shazammed it early 2022.
Wow.
And by the time I was doing my Apple replay for 2022, it was one of my most replayed songs of 2022.
Wow.
And then I went to look for your other songs, and I saw collaborations you had done with Umu Biligbo later. And I'm just like, wait, is this guy? So the song comes from, it's not just a song that you went to the studio and did. It feels like a song that you sat down.
Yeah.
It's really soulful, it's really emotional.
Yeah.
It's really a cry to God, almost, you know, all this work, all this hard work. Where did that song come from? Did something happen in your life? Were you sitting there in the house one day and things just, life has hit you?
At the point, my early days, everything, there's nothing like something happened. Everything was happening. Every day, something doesn't have to happen.
Yeah.
Because every day, things are just happening.
Yeah.
You understand? So,
what kind of things were happening for you? Leave your parents. Like, in this, what kind of things were happening with you on a daily basis?
Okay, for me, on a daily basis, was hand to mouth. Doing like 3 odd jobs. I had to start I don't know what they call it, but then they used to call it a motorboy for they carry concrete and blocks and all that. So I was doing that, carrying like 200 bags of cement a day, forget the size. So carrying like 200 bags of cement a day, doing that back and forth. Then afterwards, I'll go for, so people will see me as a bricklayer during the day, they see me as a singer at night.
What do you spend your days thinking about when you are at home?
Okay.
What do you spend time thinking about?
When my quiet time, I just I love spoken words. So my quiet time, I would just go through one or two poets, listen to poetry and all that.
Where? YouTube.
YouTube. Sometimes but now I used to see like short videos on TikTok and all that. So and you know how the algorithm when you listen to
give you more.
Give you more. So for that, I just do that most of the time. Sometimes I write, because I'm more of a writer. than a singer or whatever it is. So sometimes I write my songs without having melodies for them. So I just, as things they come in my head, I will just write down. And most of the time I get my lyrics through conversations with people. Mm-hmm. So I like having like healthy conversations with people. So mm-hmm. from there, maybe tomorrow night you just hear, say, shudi. I have a clothing brand.
Okay.
I have a clothing brand.
What's it called?
It's Red Eye.
Is Red Eye? It's Red.
No, Red Eye Exclusive. It's actually
Red Eye Exclusive. Yeah, Red Eye Exclusive.
So I have that one. So most of my free period, I'm the one that I just sketch and then give the idea to my graphic designer and everybody that is involved to make it work.
Do you ever feel underappreciated or under, what's that word? That never feel, what's that word? Underrated?
Underrated has never been, it has never been a thing for me.
The whole hullabaloo about Davido stealing your song. And it took you a while before you came out. So what was that drama about and why did it take you a while to even speak about it? Did they force you to talk about it?
Okay, someone came and the person was like, Victor Eddie wrote Jowo for Davido. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see that until like 2 days later, or maybe a day later, thereabouts.
What is it like to sleep under the bridge?
That experience there. So I came with my producer. That was like, that should be like 2012.
Right.
2012 thereabout. So I came with my producer to Lagos one time and he said he got a deal that one person won't sign was on this, on this, on this. So they came, they went to Ikorodu. The guy said they were only going to give two persons accommodation. And the both of them were like the dual singers.
Okay.
And me, I was just a writer. Because then what I do, I was a studio rat. So what I do for people is to write songs for them. So I would just write, just give me my 1,000 and make I just write, I just sing and do collaborations and swear.
Mm-hmm.
So then they came and they accommodated the both of them and they said they can't accommodate me.
Did your dad see you blow before he passed?
Yes, he did.
Right. How did he feel about it?
Ah, he was so excited.
Last question, TB Joshua obviously was very deeply personal to you.
Yeah.
You know why? Because when he passed, you gave a whole tribute. Why was he so important to you?
Okay, he actually played a big role in my life. During the time that my family and I were living in, when we splitted, my dad was staying in the store, so he was the one that actually accommodated us.
We need you to subscribe, yo! And the reason is simple. The kinds of conversations, the kinds of worlds that we construct with our conversations on with Chude are driven by a vision of the kind of world I want to see, you know. You are the most important person in this entire ecosystem. You subscribing monthly. So do go ahead, subscribe. Ask somebody else to subscribe. Advise somebody else to subscribe. Refer to someone to subscribe. It matters, truly. Thank you as we continue to be human together.